Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. A real pleasure to have you here on Close Up Radio. Love when you were with us and you made the right choice by tuning in to Close Up Radio today and every day with all the amazing guests that we have here on our broadcast. And we're very excited to welcome live from upstate New York, Kristen Ragnoli of Quest Potential Coaching. She's a life and leadership coach and the founder of Quest Potential Coaching, where she helps people integrate their life with their work. She says life and leadership go together. According to Kristen, a life consisting of two disparate parts actually creates more stress because you are not being authentic. And that's why Kristen works primarily with executive leaders on how to prioritize their authentic selves. Kristen coaches her clients to connect with those gifts and talents in themselves and in others to see leadership in new ways, allowing teams to bring their skills and talent to the table so they can bring enthusiasm and find meaning. Your team can only be as vibrant as you are. Finding it in yourself is always where it starts, where it all starts. Prior to launching Quest Potential Coaching, Kristen worked in higher education for 30 years as a professor, dean, and finally vice president of a college. She says she loved higher education until she didn't. She experienced that sense of disconnection. She definitely had a split life. She didn't plan it that way. She didn't connect with work colleagues outside of work, and they didn't really know about her personal life. Her friends didn't really know a lot about what she did professionally, so it was sort of a yin and yang. That's when Kristen discovered coaching as a new way to apply her skills and integrate her life while helping other people integrate their lives as well. She says, we want you to be a whole person. We want you to bring your strengths and your talents. We want to hear your true voice. And that's what she helps people do, and she's been doing this for a long time. Really incredible. And prior to launching Quest Potential Coaching, she worked in higher education for 30 years as a professor, dean, and finally vice president of a college. My pleasure to welcome her to Close Up Radio, and we're going to have an opportunity to really dive in deep and really break out the conversation in a very inspiring and positive way. Kristen, thanks for joining us here on the program today on Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm thrilled to be here and I'm excited to talk about these subjects are some of my favorite things to have conversations about. So I'm really looking forward to our talk.
So am I. Absolutely. You know, I like to find out what the personal journey is for a lot of our guests and what points them in the direction of the extraordinary work that they come upon, that they realize they're meant to do. What are some of those inspiring aha moments for you that pointed you in the direction of this work as an incredible coach and then creating Quest Potential Coaching as a result of all of that?
Yeah, oh, that's such a great place to start. I feel like really, you know, as an educator specifically, so if I look at the career that I built, I really was always kind of in the business of being a support and helping people transform their lives. I worked in the classroom with many students who were first-generation students where going to college really did change the trajectory of their lives. And so being an educator, I think that in itself is about transforming people. And then really just kind of my personal life and my personal family and upbringing, I've always had a sense of adventure and courage. I had a family that was very supportive and kind of allowed me to kind of be whoever I wanted to be, which was really important. And so I think I was gifted with that ability to be authentic, you know, early on in my life. And as I grew and started working and working with people and then particularly in higher and higher levels of leadership, both in education and in other organizations, you know, really started to see that, you know, that for many of us that authenticity kind of goes away as we rise in organizations. And some folks maybe have never really had the opportunity to feel fully tuned into themselves. So that as a theme really drove me to thinking, how can I help people make whatever changes they're trying to make in their lives, whether that be personal or professional, and usually those two are connected, and do it in a way that really feels like they're creating the life that they want and that they're creating the transformation that's going to make them joyful and connected with people and energetic. So Quest Potential really grew out of that. It grew out of that combination of, you know, having deep work in leadership and transformation, and then just that personal drive to want to be connected authentically myself and to want to help other people do that. So we really look at that combination of how do you bring yourself to whatever you're trying to achieve, whether that's your leadership in a corporation, whether you are an activist or a community volunteer. How can you really tap into your own strengths and gifts and create the kind of behaviors that will give you the life that you want? And it's just such a privilege to be able to help people do that and to witness people's transformation. Is just it's a real joy.
That's incredible. You know, it's hard to sometimes draw boundaries, right? Especially now with hybrid work and the craziness of all the last few years. There's this merging of the two worlds coming together,
yeah.
The professional and the personal. How do we work to draw the boundaries and sort of create those individual places because it's so merged now more than ever?
Yeah, it's such a moment of change in our world, isn't it? I feel like, you know, the past 2 years have really kind of, well, it's changed so many things, but it's really cracked open some of those very tight compartments that we, most of us had built about, you know, this is my work life, this is my personal life, this is something else over here. And I think what has happened is that so many people have come to this realization that they were kind of on an autopilot treadmill that was maybe moving so fast they couldn't even think about stepping off. All they could think about was trying to keep up. And then it was kind of stopped for us. And now we're in a place where we have the opportunity to consciously think about, you know, do I want to get back on that treadmill? And do I want to have those compartments in the same way that I did before? And it's challenging because you do want to have space for your personal life and your personal relationships that aren't just about work. And yet finding ways to be not as disconnected so that when I'm working, you know, I'm still Kristen who has, you know, the interests that I have and the connections that I have and the personality that I have. And while I'm a person connecting with my friends, I still can, you know, can be proud of and thinking about my work, that they don't have to be so boundaried in quite the same ways. And I think we're all figuring out how to do that. But the biggest change, I think, is that awakening about, oh, I have a choice about how I move forward now. And that's what a lot of people are really kind of coming to realize, like, hey, I want to talk about what I want my life to look like. Because now I realize that it had been going in a way that I wasn't necessarily in charge of. I was just along for the ride.
That's right, exactly. You know, we've all had a boss who was a completely different person when they get home from work. And it's hard to sort of reconcile, right? We have to create a character when we walk in the office oftentimes.
Yeah. In many ways, we really do. People have definitely learned to have to kind of perform when they go in, to be a certain kind of person. In some work cultures, that's very much an expectation. And, of course, we adapt behaviors to different contexts that we're in. We're not going to be entirely maybe as loose and free at the board table that we might be, you know, with our friends on the weekend. But adaptation is different than really kind of a disconnected, really performative kind of I'm trying to be someone that I'm not. So learning how to adapt without losing yourself, I think, is the big challenge. Authenticity it's a bit of a buzzword now, and I think some people hear that, and it might even create a few eye rolls, and I get that. But it really is a practice. It's a practice about how can I really bring some of these things into my work, some of the real parts of me. Because we do feel disconnected and we do feel like we're just in a performance if we can't do that. And you hear of people, you know, use that phrase imposter syndrome, which, you know, that could be its own whole discussion, but that is really implying like I'm not really the real me. I'm an imposter. I'm pretending to be someone that I'm not. And we all know that that doesn't feel good. What we most want is to be ourselves and feel like we belong as who we are. And it can be kind of scary. It takes some bravery to do that in the workplace. We have to learn to do that. And I think we have to look around and find ways to encourage each other to do that. I think many times our work cultures say they want authenticity, but don't necessarily reward it when it arrives in the workplace. So we have to start learning to match our behaviors and our reactions to each other with that spoken desire. And that's a shift. It's got to be a conscious shift for sure.
You know, the old school leave your personal life at the door is sort of the quicksand everyone stepped in. If you want to be a great CEO, executive, you have to really take care of your star player, which is you. It's about bringing the best version of you to work. I mean, you'll do your best work just by being the best version of yourself, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that relates to that idea that we, you know, in many ways, so many of us learn to compartmentalize, and that's really kind of what an old, outdated model of leadership looked like. You know, kind of command and control, individual achievement, competitiveness, often kind of exaggerated extroversion, like certain expectations that we've been conditioned to think of as leadership that mean, you know, don't talk about your challenges with your family. Don't be vulnerable. Don't show any emotion. But of course, all of those things are really just parts of being human, and we're still human when we go to work. But we've been trained to just kind of say, "Oh, I'm a purely analytical, rational person, and so I'm going to leave those parts of me behind." But they're never really left behind. And, you know, I think with all of the changes in the last couple of years, so many people are now, you know, agreeing, oh, yes, you know, empathy, compassion, authenticity, these are such important leadership qualities. And we all kind of ostensibly agree with that. And yet we still have to make more progress in terms of that actually being implemented, right? The implementation of that is still kind of lagging behind. When we look at, you know, who's promoted, who's tagged as having leadership potential, who's rising to the tops of organizations, in many cases, those are still people who are exhibiting some of those old patterns that we've been socialized to think of as leadership. So really kind of taking care of yourself is taking a new form, and becoming the best version of yourself is maybe partly breaking out of some of those old definitions of what leadership is supposed to look like. And that's the work that I do with individuals and even with groups and kind of corporations, is how do we bring all of those great leadership skills that you've been using thus far and enhance them and add to them by unlocking this other part of yourself that maybe hasn't yet been unlocked.
Yeah, and which is a beautiful thing when it does get unlocked. The potential is extraordinary. Do you sometimes find yourself in this incredible work that you do, Kristen? Are you ever sort of compartmentalized at all?
Sure. I think to some extent we all are, and being able to compartmentalize different parts of our lives can be a really effective coping skill, and there are many times when it is good to kind of put the boundaries around something and leave it for a while and go to another part of your life. So it's not all bad, but I think that what we have to be careful about is if those parts of ourselves are shut down too tightly, then that's when we start to feel really disconnected. So I would say right now in my life, I feel the most kind of integrated and balanced and aligned as I've really ever been. But I certainly have been in that place where I felt like, I would spend all my day in this, you know, intense work situation and kind of keeping the rest of my life kind of at bay, so to speak. And then I would get home and I'd be so exhausted and spent and tapped out that I couldn't really engage fully in what are supposed to be those, you know, kind of beautiful and connecting parts of your life. So for me, I decided that it was too big of a price to pay. I was at the pinnacle, what some people would call the pinnacle of my career, and I just looked around and I found that it was toxic. And my inability or the context inability to let me be myself was not something I was willing to, I wasn't willing to go along with anymore. I wasn't willing to abandon myself, and so I said, I'm going to try to do something different. I'm going to try to live the values that I want and help other people do that as well. So it's a work, we're all a work in progress, but it's really working well for me right now. And it's taken time. It's taken work, lots of personal work.
Exactly. And that's a beautiful thing when you're able to do that. And see the results as a result, which is extraordinary. And that's why you walk the walk, talk the talk, and you're able to help your clients because you're able to really identify with them and relate to them. I mean, we don't even put life first in the phrase work-life balance oftentimes, right?
Mm.
Everybody, a lot of people put life first. Some people put work first. But is it a fallacy that we can keep them separated?
Well, I think what I would say is it's in my way of thinking, it's not, separation is not necessarily the goal. I think different people will find different combinations that feel like balance to them. So even just saying work-life balance or life-work balance, you know, we can visualize a scale where we feel like everything is perfectly balanced. There's the exact same amount on both sides, and therefore the scale is balanced. And it's not that way for everyone. I think people have different measures of what makes their life feel. I think I would replace the word aligned with balanced, because for some people, they are driven by their work. They are doing life-changing and kind of world-changing work. And so maybe they really are in that work world more than some other people. But are they doing that in a way that creates meaning and creates connection and feels aligned with their values and isn't depleting, it's nourishing and nurturing, then that's a balance for that person. And for someone else, a balance will look entirely differently. And I think those are the ideas that create that correlate to authenticity, because each person's formula needs to be created by that person. So keeping them separate to me feels like we're setting ourselves up to not be able to meet that goal. So can we find work that feels meaningful and enjoyable and helps us connect to people? Can we have a life that, you know, is filled with things that we love to do, that is nurturing, that is restful, that has adventure, that has the pieces of life that we want, depending on our own formula? So there's never a single answer, but that's really why working one-on-one with someone, you know, my role is often just to help people think about and answer those questions for themselves. It's never for me to say, here's what you do, this is what's going to give you your perfect balance. It's really more investigating and kind of interrogating our beliefs and our behaviors to say, what do I really want? If I get to create the life and the work that I want, what do I want that to look like and how can I achieve it? Because sometimes we're not as purposeful in thinking about that, and then we kind of take what we get. And this way we become, I use a phrase, you know, we become the leaders of our own lives. And then that makes all the difference.
Yes, right, exactly. And that's a beautiful thing. So how do you reconcile the tension sometimes that comes with all of this? Sometimes you have to just put trust in people that things will get done.
Yeah, I think that trust is one of those leadership qualities and personal qualities that very few people would disagree is a good thing. And yet, a lot of times, you know, we don't allow ourselves to trust others because we're driven to kind of achieve, and we maybe are trying to control so many things in our lives and in our work. Letting go of control is definitely something that can be a challenge for many people, but especially high-achieving leaders. They need to really learn and practice how to let go of some of that control and how to learn to trust. First, because control is kind of an illusion anyways, right? We're really not in control of so many things that we try to control. So just the recognition of I'm not really in control of many of these things that I'm trying to control is its own mindset shift. But, you know, some of those old views of leadership and ways of working especially in the corporate world, people have been rewarded for that, right? Like what got you to this high achieving place was because you were diligent and competitive and maybe even had some perfectionist tendencies where you were really making sure that everything happened exactly the way it should. And then you get into these higher level leadership positions, and now all of a sudden people want you to change your game, and people sometimes don't know how to do that. Like what got them to their leadership position as an individual contributor now no longer works when you become a leader of people and you're in a position that's high enough in an organization where you really can't do all the things. It's too much work for one person. So you have to then all of a sudden learn, now how do I lead others to do that? And that's a big shift that, that can be challenging for people, shifting from being a high-performing worker contributor to a leader who can learn to trust others and change their own way of behaving and thinking so that they can become more collaborative and visionary. And that takes practice. It takes awareness. Then it takes some choices to change. And then it takes, you know, practice to build the skill. So, and those are the three of the kind of words that I use all the time with clients in any setting is awareness, choice, practice. Awareness, choice, practice. So you have to have an awareness of what's happening and what might need to change. Then you have to choose that, which is can be hard work. And once you choose it, it's not like flipping a switch. Then you have to implement actual practices to make those things change. And so trust is just one of many areas where we often have to change what we do first in order to trust people and have people trust us.
And that's important. Trust is such an essential ingredient with all of this. I can't believe how quickly this time is going by here. Thought partner. Tell us about being a thought partner, because people need dialogue, right?
Yeah, that's one. I love that phrase, and it's one of the ways that I describe what I do as a coach is being a thought partner, and it's really about being someone who can support through conversation and through really looking at how are we thinking about things, what do we know, what do we not know. So a thought partner is really a way of being a guide that provides some, you know, objective, neutral perspective about what someone is, what they're thinking, what they're saying, the ways that they're approaching things, so that they can kind of step out of themselves and look at things in a new way. Until we have that chance to really explore and investigate ourselves, we often don't even understand why what we're doing is not working or why we feel unfulfilled or uncomfortable. So it's really helping people do some of the work on themselves and understanding what their patterns are, understanding that we all think in ways that have been kind of conditioned over a long period of life. Some of that is social conditioning, cultural conditioning. Most people have heard, you know, the phrase about implicit bias. And that's just one example of the ways that we may be thinking about something or approaching something in a way that we're not even consciously aware. And so someone who can say, hey, I noticed you said this about your challenge with your team. Tell me more about that or tell me about why you phrased it in that way so that they can really start to investigate their own thoughts.
Yeah,
and where that might be coming from. And most typically then it's not me pointing out, hey, you did this, although sometimes I will do that if I feel like that person might need a challenge. But often mm-hmm. it's through that questioning that they just say to themselves, oh, I guess you're right. I guess I wasn't allowing them to take that on, you know, or they make observations about
yeah.
something that they were thinking or doing that they wouldn't have come to on their own, perhaps.
I hope we get a chance to explore some more because the 30 minutes has just zipped by in a New York minute here. But I do
it
encourage
has.
Folks to go to the website, www.kristenfragnoli.com. That's KRISTEN. FRAGNOLI.com. Kristen, really incredible work that you're doing with Quest Potential Coaching. Hope we get a chance to maybe hear some case studies, things of that nature down the line. It would really be a pleasure. Thanks for joining
Thanks,
us on the show
Jim.
And sharing all of this. It's incredible work that you're doing.
Yeah, it's well, I appreciate having the chance to talk about it and all of your great questions and comments that got me thinking as well. So it's good stuff, and I appreciate your time and having a chance to be here with you.
My pleasure. My pleasure, and I'm sure we'll chat again real soon. You have a terrific rest of your day, Kristen, and our listeners as well. Thank you for joining us. This is your host, Jim Masters. Thanking you for your time this time. Until next time, again, if you would like to connect with our guest, I encourage you to do that by going to www.kristenfragnoli.com. And for all of us at Close Up Radio, stay tuned. I'll be back momentarily with another incredible guest to share with you as well right here. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for being with us, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.